Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go. Everybody, and welcome to Go For It alongside Jeremy Espy. I am your host, Paul Gann, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, all your ideas, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinions. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And, again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On Air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It. Also, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, hope you had a good day. I had a great day. Now it's time to get down to the get down and talk sports. Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you? So you had a great day, you said, right?
It's cool. Great day. Good day. You know, there's no other place I'd rather be than right here talking sports and having fun doing it. How about yourself?
Flyers are up 1-0, so I'm experiencing the playoff high.
And let's all enjoy the playoff high. Together, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you can relate. You're probably just you're giddy with these Flyers, huh, Paul?
I'm ecstatic.
That being ecstatic. Said, I guess we should think about you know, moving on, right?
Let's move on now. It's the NBA Finals tomorrow. A rematch of 2008, the 12th time that the Lakers and the Celtics have gotten it on in the finals. These two teams you remember the rivalries in the 80s with Magic and Bird. Now you have Kobe, Pierce. You have a new big three. You had the big three back with Mikal and Parrish and Bird. Now you got Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce. So now it's a new time, it's a new day, but it's the same old teams. I can't wait, man. It's gonna be a great final. And as I sit here right now in front of you guys, I just don't know who's gonna win these finals. I don't know, man. I just don't know.
You really think that this Lakers team didn't learn anything from 2 years ago?
You think maybe they did, but
this is a different, you know, it's the same Lakers team, you know, in terms of players, different Lakers team. In the fact that they've now been here before, they've seen this Boston team, identical Boston team, and this is a much more developed Lakers team.
Go ahead.
They went to a much, I mean, we're not going to disagree. They went from a much harder conference, had better opponents, and, you know, they handled their run well. Nothing taken away from Boston, but I just think it's a reach to kind of think that Boston's going to come in night after night, have the answer for Kobe, yet you really have a very confident Lakers ball club behind him.
Well, and that is true, but you have a Celtics team that steamrolled essentially through the two best teams in the league record wise in the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic, and they did it without having the home court advantage. They did it essentially the hard way, and they handled their business, man, and they dominated those two series, quite frankly. I mean, those series really weren't that close. And they played like a team that was on a mission. And you talk about the differences. There is a difference here in this 2010 version of Rajon Rondo than that 2008 version. This is a much more developed, much more mature, and quite frankly, a better point guard at this stage of his career.
We're not going to certainly disagree. Rondo gives them a much fresher look than 2 years ago. But still, I mean, the Lakers have, you know, certainly a defensive prowess when, with the addition, you know, of Artest, and the bench still remains in the same mold. Derek Fisher is playoff tested, proven. Kobe, Gasol. I mean, I think the nucleus for them, given the fact that they had 2 years to let the embarrassment of the previous finals kind of sit in their craw, and you also really, Paul, if we look at it in terms of the two head-to-head matchups, the first one wasn't even a contest. The Lakers really hurt the Celtics. In the second game, the Celtics the Lakers without Kobe lost by two. I mean, I think that even though they ran through Cleveland, they ran through Orlando, I don't think any teams in the East really compared to teams in the West. And again, it's a Celtic team that is somewhat banged up, and they're a bruising team. Like, they matched up very well against Orlando because Orlando had, they had Dwight Howard, and you had to match up against him. But with the Lakers, I mean, are they going to be able to put up 120 points? Because the Lakers were putting up 120, 130 nightly against the Phoenix Suns.
Well, I mean, you said that, and that's the opportune thing there, against the Phoenix Suns. This is, defensively, this is a whole another monster here with the Celtics. I mean, these boys defend. All these guys defend. So this is a totally different situation in terms of defending. I mean, the Lakers are not going to put up 120 points on this Celtic ball club. This is a team that defends. They, great team defense. Assistant coach Tom Thibodeau does a great job of putting these guys in position to succeed on the defensive end. They play great team defense, and they're long with Garnett and Kendrick Perkins and down there in the low post. So I think the Lakers are not going to put up those type of points, but I think one thing that truly is different right now in terms of with the Lakers is the addition of Ron Artest and the possibility of having a healthy Andrew Bynum, who was not there back in 2008. Granted, he just got his knee drained the other day. Apparently, according to what I'm reading today, it's fluid return to the knee. So we don't know how healthy he'll be. But again, he is some size, and that's something that they didn't have at that time. I mean, if you remember, Lamar Odom was coming off the bench. Lamar Odom was a starter at that point. Now Lamar Odom is coming off the bench, and they were big up front with Bynum. Without Bynum, they're not as big, but without Bynum, I think they'll be dominated by the Celtics bigs.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think if the loss of Bynum were the potential loss of Bynum, I think will definitively hurt them. If nothing else, just in the presence factor of him theoretically being, you know, maybe injured or hurt. But if he's out, I mean, I think there is a presence that will be lacking, and I would definitely say that the Lakers, you know, now have some shoes to fill. I look, though, at the fact that, you know, if you look at the Lakers playoff run and you look at the Celtics playoff run, it's still, I mean, this was a very crisp Lakers team. I mean, it was certainly a dominating playoffs for the Celtics, but it was a dominating regular season and a dominating playoffs for the Lakers. The Celtics really struggled in the regular season. They got hot at the right time, and there's no question about that, but they also got hot against teams that they matched up well against. I still contend, I don't think they can run. I think if the Lakers can get out and run, starting in game one, it will be very, very difficult, I think, for an older Celtics team that is not – they don't run well. I mean, they can run well for a quarter, for a half, but not for four quarters. They're not, Paul, they're not putting up 110 points, you know, even 100 in two games in a row. I mean, and the Lakers could put up 110 easy. So I think that, you know, the problem for the Celtics is going to be is keeping the tempo down. They want to, if you're the Celtics, you want to get ideally 85 points, you know, and I don't see how you're going to keep the Lakers to 80 to 90 points.
Well, I disagree because Boston, throughout these playoffs, have found a way to defend. They've defended a Magic team that puts up points, that shoots the three ball very well. And they've defended a Cleveland team that can put up points. I mean, they have done it throughout these whole playoffs, defending guys and shutting teams down. I mean, they found a way to limit a LeBron James. They found a way to limit a Dwight Howard. I mean, they have done big things defensively in these playoffs. And one of the things I can see happening here, and one of the things that may happen here for the Lakers is in terms of Ron Artest and his addition, and you wonder if that's going to be enough to put the Lakers over, having him defending Paul Pierce this time around. I mean, last time you had Radmanovic on Pierce, you had Bryant on Pierce at times. Now you have Ron Artest there. So it's going to be different.
I definitely agree. I think Ron Artest is, for the Lakers defensively, going to definitely be the key here.
Okay, and we're joined by Philadelphia Daily News writer Phil Jasner. Phil?
Yes, sir.
Phil, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Phil, now with these finals starting tomorrow, what is different from 2008 till now for both teams? What is different?
Well, the Celtics are very different. Their bench is very different. They were an older team then. They're even a little older now. And what's different is that Kobe Bryant has a long, tough memory, as does Pau Gasol, who has heard for 2 years how he was handled by Kevin Garnett.
Now, Phil, I know one thing that was different is Andrew Bynum was not in the mix for the Lakers, and right now he's banged up. If he's not at full strength, how much does that hurt the Lakers?
Well, it hurts them, but in Gasol they have a guy who is considered the most skilled big man in the NBA. They have an incredibly determined Kobe Bryant. They have Lamar Odom, who has really settled in to that off-the-bench role. They have the volatility and explosiveness of Ron Artest, and you don't know what you're going to get from game to game, from quarter to quarter, from moment to moment. It would be best for the Lakers if Bynum were healthy and able to play, but if they can get 20, 22 minutes a night out of him, I think that'll be enough.
And Phil, I want to touch on one of the points you made, which is Gasol and Kobe. One of the things Paul and I were just speaking of and kind of bickering back and forth about was, you know, the fact that for the last 2 years, I think the Lakers had to live with the fact that they lost a championship to a veteran ball club. And this time, I think they get a chance to right that ship.
Well, not just lost, but really got clobbered in that memorable Game 6 in the Boston Garden. Really got hammered. And that didn't sit well with Kobe, didn't sit well with Pau Gasol. All Kobe heard was that they had lost to the Celtics. All Gasol heard was that he was too soft, that he couldn't deal with Garnett. I think Gasol has toughened up, and as I said, Kobe has a long memory, and he is on a mission. He is on the mission that people anticipated LeBron James would be on, except Kobe knows how to go about it.
And also, speaking of LeBron James, Phil, how do you see that playing out? I know it's early, but how do you see that playing out? And it's kind of hard to say at this point.
Well, yeah, you hit it right on the head. It's hard to know. For anybody who says that they know what LeBron is going to do, it's total foolishness. because I'm not convinced that LeBron knows what he wants to do. And that puts Cleveland in a tough position in terms of trying to hire a coach, in terms of trying to put a team together. And prospective coaches are going to really be wary. Unless they're desperate for a job, they're going to want to know where LeBron is before they say yes.
And also, go ahead.
I was going to touch on that, Phil. I mean, do you see this? One of these pawn I often wonders if this, with Kobe, the longer this plays out, how does that negatively impact, you know, the Cavaliers, who had a productive season. You know, they got unfortunately knocked out of the playoffs a little early, but with this dragging out, they're not going to be able to sign some of the free agents, get the right coach in. The longer this drags out for this organization, it could somewhat turn into a problem.
Well, of course. And I don't know what makes people think that on July 1st, LeBron is going to stand up and say, I've made my decision. My guess is it will take longer than that. And I'm dismayed by this idea that LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Joe Johnson and whomever else kind of get together to talk about the future. That's not what Michael Jordan did. That's not what great players of the past have done. Great players of the past have chosen their team, they've picked their poison, so to speak, and believed that they were good enough to lead a team to a championship.
Now, Phil, I talked about a few shows ago about, in my opinion, if LeBron James is truly about winning, he should stay in Cleveland, because the bottom line is they have proven the past 2 years, if you put LeBron James on that court, you're going to win 60 games in the regular season, and you're going to be a championship contender.
Well, yeah, but they haven't gotten to where they wanted to go. They haven't won that championship. Now, LeBron has said in the excerpts from the Larry King interview that, you know, that Cleveland has the best chance of signing him, but he didn't go far enough to say that he will sign with Cleveland. And LeBron can't sit back and wait to see who Cleveland will sign, and I think he's smart enough, obviously, to know that. If he feels he didn't have enough around him to win, I contend that the way he played in the last few playoff games really made me wonder if he had the same killer instinct of a Dwayne Wade, of a Kobe Bryant, of a Michael Jordan. You couldn't see it in those final playoff games. He looked like he was searching for answers. We'll never know how hurt he really was or whether he was hurt at all. He did take a lot of shots left-handed, a lot of drives left-handed. I'm sure there was a problem. Great players find ways around that. Kobe is playing with a variety of injuries and hasn't said a word. He gets his knee drained and he just goes out there and he plays.
And Phil, one of the things you had just talked about, Paul and I were laughing on Saturday about this free agent summit and the prospects of what that would mean to the impending free agency, especially considering, you know, each of their respective teams have the advantage in terms of salary structuring and also, you know, the fact that they're going to sit around the table and kind of bargain with each other. If LeBron would take Joe Johnson and then Dwayne Wade would take this one, I mean, is the notion of that even realistic, or is that just, you know, ESPN just pumping out a story to fill 3 minutes?
Well, I don't think ESPN originated, you know, that story. I think it was pretty common knowledge in the various cities that this stuff was going on. And I don't want to believe that any legitimate communications outlet is pumping up stories for the sake of just putting them out there. I don't believe in that. I hope others don't believe in that. I'm just disappointed that none of these guys believe that they're good enough to win a championship by themselves. Chris Bosh is looking around, and I think he knows that he's not even in the top echelon, that guys will sign before him and maybe he waits to see who goes where and then tries to hook up with that team. How do we know that the team he wants to go to, A, has enough money, B, has an interest in him, C, whether he actually fits what they need?
And also, Phil, and yeah, it's like you're saying, it's kind of ludicrous for them to have all these guys sit down and decide where they're going to go. But I think if with LeBron James, I think to me he will not come back to Cleveland. For a simple fact is, why would he go through this whole process? I mean, it's very obvious to me that he's looking, and I think, quite frankly, he's going to leave Cleveland.
Well, you can have whatever opinion you want. If you say, why is he going through the process? Because he can. Because the rules allow for it. Because if he didn't go through the process, he would never know what might have been. If he doesn't make himself available, he'll never know what Team A or Team B or Team C might be willing to do for him and for the particular franchise. He has that chance. He's almost foolish if he doesn't take that chance.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. Ultimately,
there's a lot of truth to that. To say he is blindly loyal, he may be. He may turn out and to stay in Cleveland, but at least he will know what his options were and what he could have done.
Well, answer this, Phil. Do you think his best opportunity to win a championship is in Cleveland?
That depends on who he signs with, what the players are like around him. Cleveland, I would say, has a better roster right now than, for argument's sake, New York. Cleveland has a better roster than New Jersey, but New Jersey has the third pick in the draft, their point guard and their center in place. So that could be a lucrative place for him to go if, in fact, he wants to play a couple of years in Newark. He might not want to do that. It might not depend on who's on the roster. It might not depend on how much money is available. It's going to be where LeBron thinks his best opportunity is. And right now, he doesn't know.
Phil, you failed to mention one of the things I always look at is Chicago. I think if his immediate goal is winning, I mean, I think New Jersey certainly has an edge with the draft and some young players, but Chicago certainly has a young core group around them as well.
Well, Chicago could be a terrific place for him to go, but as somebody pointed out, one of the things that LeBron needs is a sniper on the perimeter. As good as young Derrick Rose is, that's not what he does. And it might be tougher for LeBron there than it is in a lot of other places. Chicago would have to do a lot of things to make this work. I don't think Chicago has nearly the money available that several other teams do. And people try and put scenarios together. He'd have Noah with him. He'd have Rose with him. He'd have young Taj Gibson with him. And that's all well and good. Now, do those pieces fit? Can those guys play with LeBron? Can LeBron play with those guys? It's not as easy as it sounds.
We're here joined by Phil Jasner from the Philadelphia Daily News. Phil, the Philadelphia 76ers, they've hired Doug Collins as their coach. Do you think that was a good move?
I think it was a terrific move. They needed defense. They needed discipline. They needed a veteran, strong voice. They needed a strategist. That's what they got.
Now, what do they do with this number two pick? Do you think they trade it and try to package Elton Brand's awful contract, or do they stand pat and pick a Evan Turner?
Fellas, if you want to play around with rumors and speculation and package A, B, C, and D, you know, in order to get whatever, I don't think any of that's happening. I think they've got the number two pick, and I think his name is Evan Turner, and I think I'm not about to say that it's a done deal because they'll listen to anything. But I think the idea is Evan Turner, which gives them a Holiday Turner backcourt, and that could be their backcourt for the next 7-8 years.
And also, Phil, I heard Doug Collins say that he believes that Andre Iguodala is a 3 and that Thaddeus Young is a 4, a la like a Josh Smith. In my mind, I look at Thaddeus Young as almost a tweener. He doesn't handle well enough to be a 3, and he may be a little too undersized to handle the 4.
Well, he played some of his best basketball as a 4. I agree that he's a little undersized for the position, but they've got to find a way to get these players on the court and get them back to being productive. And not just Thaddeus and Iguodala, but Maurice Spates, and to a great degree, Elton Brand, I think, and Lewis Williams. A lot of these guys went backwards in this past season, and Doug needs to get them turned around, going in the right direction. They all have something to offer, including Brand. Now, it might not be 20 points and 10 rebounds. Those days are over. But he's got to be a better player than what we saw in this past season. Doug's history is that he turns teams around quickly. 3 stops, his teams have improved by 10, 18, and 18. And that's exactly what the Sixers want. That's exactly what they need.
One of the things he had mentioned, you know, over the weekend, and I thought was interesting, is he mentioned with Iguodala is really controlling his game and slowing it down, stop a lot of the shooting and get him shooting free throws. And I thought it was interesting. It seems as if he's really trying to instill, you know, and make this team kind of more aware of their athleticism and stop kind of giving points away by missed opportunities.
Well, that's part of it. He wants fewer threes from Iguodala, more trips to the foul line, which means more cutting and slashing to the basket. And let's take that heavy mantle off of Iguodala, who felt that he had to be the number one guy, had to lead the team. And it was clear under the circumstances of this past season that it was too difficult for him, that that's not what he was ready to do, and there weren't enough pieces around him who could really support him. I think Doug will be very careful about that and spread around the responsibility and the accountability. And fellas, let's go for 2 more questions because I have other commitments.
And Phil, so we'll leave you with this, and we'll ask you, we'll get your prediction on these upcoming NBA Finals. How do you see it playing out?
To me, I see the Lakers in 6. Kobe's long memory, Pau Gasol getting even for a bitter memory of 2 years ago.
And Phil, we thank you for your time. This was Phil Jasner from the Philadelphia Daily News. Phil, we really thank you for joining us. Thank you for
you're
fitting us in your schedule, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Enjoy your night.
All right. Take care.
So Paul, I want to grab you before. He says the Lakers in 6, and where do you stand with that?
I don't necessarily agree.
Of course not. I
like Boston in that same number 6. I know a lot of things are different. Lakers do have home court advantage. Last time they didn't. Lakers do have Andrew Bynum, albeit we don't know how healthy he is, but they do have Andrew Bynum. Last time they didn't. And now you look at things. Lakers have Ron Artest. Last time they didn't. But if I look at Boston, I see Kevin Garnett. I see Ray Allen. I see Paul Pierce. And I see Rajon Rondo. And Rajon, one thing you know about the Lakers, they have trouble with fast guards. So now you have Derek Fisher, who is going to try to stay in front of Rajon Rondo. Good luck with that, D-Fish. It ain't happening. Now, and they're saying that at some point Kobe may be guarding Rondo. But who at that point, who guards Ray Allen? And if it's Fisher, then Ray Allen is shooting over him all day. So I think Boston, they went through Cleveland. they went through Orlando, and the way they're playing some good, solid team basketball on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. They're getting key contributions off the bench, Big Baby Davis, Rasheed Wallace, Tony Allen, and you got the X Factor, Nate Robinson. I just think right now they're a team on a mission, they're a team on a roll, and they're a team that will win the NBA Finals.
So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Paul's easy prediction. He's 0-2, right, Paul?
Well, I can't say I've been very successful here prognosticating these NBA playoffs, but trust me on this one. Trust me on this one.
We'll trust you. That's what we do, Paul.
Trust
me. No reason to lie.
And if you have any thoughts on the NBA Finals or anything you heard from Phil Jasner, the number to call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On Air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And we have a caller here. Hello, welcome to Go For It.
How you doing? This is Mark from New Jersey.
Hey, Mark, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm okay. Good interview you guys had with Phil Jasmine. But I would have to agree with you.
Go ahead.
The interview you guys had with Phil Jasmine, but I would have to agree with you with the Celtics prediction. I think the Celtics were winning. I think the Celtics are going to win in five.
Well, I feel bad because, you know, he's led a lot of people astray, you know, first with Cleveland and then with Orlando. So I'm going to caution you. I'm going to remind you, Mark from New Jersey, you know, Paul sounds nice. He sounds, you know, he sounds intelligent.
I think I agree with Mark. I don't necessarily, again, I don't think it's going to happen in five. But I think they're a team on a mission right now. And I believe the mission will ultimately be an NBA title. I really do.
Well, I think, you know what, what a lot of people are now talking about is the 2-3-2 format, which I think the team, the home team is at a disadvantage with that format.
Well, most of the time, go ahead.
Well, Mark, I mean, one of the questions, I guess, I said to Paul is, how are they going to run? How is it a team that enters and exits, you know, the Boston Garden in wheelchairs, how are they going to run with the Lakers that could put up 120, you know?
I don't think this guy has watched any playoffs because if you see Rajon Rondo, he's been motoring up and down that court. He's been like a little water bug out there.
But you keep mentioning one player.
And you keep
Is Kendrick Perkins, Paul Kendrick Perkins is motoring?
Well, you still have guys who can run. Perk can get up and down the court. And if it's not Perk, it's Big Baby Davis. And if it's not Big Baby Davis, you have the rest of the guys who can run.
I don't really see the Lakers running up and down the court. From the games I watched, they put up in a half-court offense.
But how are they going to slow Lakers, you know, this Lakers team down? If the Lakers keep moving and they can get, if they can control the tempo, how are the Celtics going to fare?
Mark, I'll take this for you. It's very obvious if you watch the Celtics team, these guys defend, and they've been defending throughout these whole playoffs. And if you look at it, the Lakers scored these 120 points against the Phoenix Suns. These are not the Phoenix Suns. This Boston Celtics team is not the Phoenix Suns.
Well,
would you agree
with
that,
call,
Mark?
Fella. Yeah, I would agree with that. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to listen to the rest of your show.
So we got
Mark
down for the Celtics in five.
Celtics in five. And you have him. What do you have in, Paul? You have the Celtics in what? Six, you said?
I have the Celtics in six.
Six.
Since since you have such an opinion here, we got to know what you think about these NBA Finals.
I agree with Phil. I think it's the Lakers in six. Don't get me wrong. I think the Celtics are not – they're not going to go away in the series, and they're a very strong opponent. But I just – I don't see how they're going to outscore this Lakers team. I think you looked you're hitting the nail on the head for the Celtics. It's gonna this series will depend on Rajon Rondo. I think more than probably any playoff series ever has. I think next to him, it's certainly gonna be Ray Allen. I think the rest of the Celtics, you know, they're gonna have games that are gonna be important. But I think the two of them, because I think it's gonna very much come down to scoring and shooting, and you know, the quick release and getting points quick. And that's their best. That's the two best. I think if you want to go to a wild card player, I think, you know, Tony House is going to come big to them. If he can get hot in a game or two, as he did against Orlando, you know, he can come in 20 minutes, 10 minutes, and he can put up 10, 15 points. That will create problems for the Lakers. But I don't
You're referring to Nate Robinson, right?
No, hello? I said. No, Paul. You had your eyes closed. Probably, I know you're tired. A lot going on. You know, you're out there reaching for the Celtics in five. So I know you're saying prayers.
I said Celtics in six.
I'm sorry, Mark from New Jersey was Celtics in five. I guess Paul, Phil said this, one of the same points I say, which is, you know, where are they going to put where is your answer? It better not be Kevin Garnett. For Gasol. I mean, I think you kind of forget he's an all-star. I mean, he has incredible ball control. He's, you know, he can shoot, he can get to the basket, he can pass, he can rebound, and he's not as old and as, you know, riddled as Garnett was. I mean, I think sometimes people look at Garnett and they look at Paul Pierce and they think, you know, these guys are old now.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but they didn't look old against Orlando. They didn't look old against Cleveland. And I don't think they're going to get old against the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a veteran ball club with a lot of pride. Now, I understand Kobe Bryant, he has that killer instinct. He's a guy that'll snatch your heart away. He's a guy who will just he'll do anything to win. He's that type of guy. He'll take food from a baby. He'll do anything he can do to win. I understand that. But he's running into a buzzsaw here in Boston. There's a lot of pride there with Kevin Garnett. There's a lot of pride there with Paul Pierce. There's a lot of pride with Ray Allen. And this is a team that a lot of people, including myself, did not expect to be here. I didn't expect these boys to be here. But guess what? They're here, and they beat, record-wise, the two best teams in basketball. They beat them handily. And when they go face the Lakers, they will do the same thing.
Well,
the number to call, 1-646. Go ahead. Let me give you the numbers. 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gann@gmail.com. That's goforward.gann@gmail.com. And also, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go Forward under the category of sports. And also, I wanted to add something in here. Somebody else has just joined the Free Agent Summit. Amari Stoudemire has stated that he is friends with, he talks to guys like LeBron James, Joe Johnson, Dwayne Wade, and all those boys, and he wants to be a part of this summit. Are you happy? Are you excited? Stoudemire has joined the Free Agent Summit.
Paul, you know how I think this is like the biggest. I think it's great for the ratings. I think it's great, you know, for the newspapers. It's great for Twitter. And I'm sure if I was every free agent, you know, that has a name, and if I was certainly a free agent that doesn't have a name, I'd make a name for myself, seeing if I can get a reservation at this table, at this restaurant, you know. It creates a buzz, but it's a buzz all about really nothing. I mean, it doesn't really add to the value. I think Phil.
Did you hear who else joined the summit?
No, I didn't, Paul. Who?
AI has joined the summit, the free agent summit. Allen Iverson will be involved in the free agent summit. Just kidding. Continue. Just playing.
You know, one of the things that Phil brought up that I think it would be interesting to get your opinion on. We'll talk a little bit about. I mean, is this really good for the game of basketball now that players are going to? I mean, in a way, it's a form of collusion. You know, they're going to sit down if it's you're taking them on your face. They're going to sit down and kind of prearrange things. And is that like he brought up, like certainly Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and some of the greater athletes in the day when they were free agents or there was speculation that they were moving from team to team. I mean, you know, I understand it hasn't happened in basketball where this many superstars have been free agents in the same year. But is this good for the
– It's not. I mean, here's what's good for the game. Having all these free agents out here is good for the game from this perspective. You are drawing attention to your sport in the summertime when the sport is not playing. And that is similar to what happens in the NFL. If you look at the NFL free agency period, the NFL basically goes all year round. Now, in terms of what you're getting now for the NBA, this is exciting from this perspective because you have guys now, Dwayne Wade, Amari Stoudemire, LeBron James, Joe Johnson, some of the biggest names in the game are now free agents. You know how much attention that's going to bring to the sport. So from that end, it's great for the league because you're giving attention to your league. What is not good is all this nonsense of these guys actually sitting down and deciding, okay, Bosch, you're coming with me. Okay, Dwayne Wade says to Bosch, I got your arm, this one arm, and LeBron James has the other arm. And it becomes a little tug of war. And it's funny. And it's funny that you brought this up because I was thinking about it, and it reminded me of a song. And it made me laugh because Chris Bosh LeBron James wants Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade wants Chris Bosh. So who's getting what? Who is who? It reminded me of a song. Hey, Chris, this is LeBron James. Hey, you're mine, Chris. Let me get that on. Dwayne Wade, Chris, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. That boy is mine. The boy is mine. The boy is mine. The boy is mine. LeBron, Chris Bosh, you're mine.
See, Paul, just when I thought that you have no sense when you're picking the Celtics. You know, and then you go in there and you do something like that song, and maybe you might be right.
I mean, it's almost like you have Monica in one corner, you have Brandy in one corner. Now you got Dwayne Wade in one corner, you got LeBron James in the other corner, and they're fighting over Chris Bosh. You're mine, boy. Boy, you're mine. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's all just nonsense. And maybe they'll sit down. Maybe they don't. They won't. But it's all nonsense. So, Mason, we want to get your opinions on the NBA Finals. Let me know what you think. Who you think is going to win? Jeremy, you like the Lakers in what? How many games?
Lakers in six.
So Jeremy likes the Lakers in six. I like the Celtics in six. So let me know what you think. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go Forward under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. What do you think? NBA Finals. I like the Celtics in six. Jeremy likes the Lakers in six. Phil Jasner likes the Lakers. And Mark from New Jersey also likes the Celtics. We have a caller.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to Go For It.
This is Shy from New Jersey.
Shy, welcome to the ride.
I have a question.
Okay.
I know you guys are talking about basketball, but this is not related to basketball. This is related to baseball.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
Today I was at a Little League baseball game, and they called the little boy out, and I didn't understand why he was out. So I just wanted to know if this is a rule in baseball or not.
Outs are rules in baseball.
Outs, yes, you get three outs. I mean, I don't know what the question you're asking me.
If you give me
a
chance to finish my
question. Okay, continue. We were talking.
So the little boy hit the ball, and he was running to first base. The person on first base didn't catch the ball in the air. He picked it up off the ground, and he tagged the base before the little boy got there. But
so
after he tagged the base, he dropped the ball. So they said that the little boy was safe because he dropped the ball. Is that a rule?
Well, he is safe because the boy, little boy, I don't know who this little boy is, but the little boy had to hold on to the ball throughout the whole process of tagging the base. If he loses the ball while he's tagging the base, then the runner is safe.
Paul, let me say this. First of all, if we're going to talk about little boys playing baseball, then I'm going to have to ask everyone to let me talk about hockey, because I can only handle about two more minutes of little boys and outs in baseball before, you know, this guy wants to talk to the Flyers playoffs.
So, well, Shy from New Jersey, I thought I heard some water or some cooking there. What are you cooking tonight?
It's 9:47. So cooking time is over.
Well,
cooking time is never over. You know,
is it
a
sports show or a cook show?
Well, Shy from New Jersey, you messed up the whole vibe of the show, and I think at this point it's time for you to go. You need to
know
that laughing stuff.
I will never,
it's not like you've been drinking all night. Have a nice night.
Hey, Shy.
Hello, welcome to Go For It.
Yes, I want to call because that was the most ridiculous call I've ever heard. You know, I mean,
what kind of person do you like? You think I give you get? You think I give two craps, two darns?
Shy was an angel. Shy, yeah, I mean, really shy. Don't call about little boys playing baseball, Shy.
Yeah, exactly. You scare me talking about little boys.
This is an adult. You know, that's what Paul.
If you pay attention to baseball, the boy's safe. I mean, come on, Shy. Read your manual. This is what I say.
So what can we do for you? What can we do for you tonight?
I mean, I was just calling. That call just really made me angry. I really had nothing else to say. I really enjoyed this show. I mean, I picked up, you know, a little late, but I really enjoyed what you guys were talking about. But, you know, that call just really threw me off because I agree. It threw off the vibe. You know, I was really into it. And I Shy, if you're listening, you know, come on, come better next time, all right?
If you're going to go for it, right? But let's make it your thoughts on the NBA Finals. What do you think about the NBA Finals?
Celtics. Seven.
Celtics in how many games?
Seven.
Celtics in seven, okay. Go ahead.
Celtics and seven. Paul, these callers now, I'm concerned. I mean, we have people calling about softball rules, and then we're calling because we're annoyed about softball rules. Now we got Celtics and seven.
I think we have a number of individuals who may need somewhat of a life. And it's very obvious in terms of what they're calling about, what they're getting annoyed about. I mean, some of these people just need lives.
Maybe they need prayer, Paul. Do they need prayer?
That, among other things, that we hope through the course of this show and other shows and through the course of life and through the course of this night, they will find a life. Thank you for your call. Well,
let's try to get back to some form of normalcy, Paul.
Exactly. We had the dopes of the day, basically, calling about Little League Baseball and others who were perturbed about other things. But again, you know, we thank you for their call. And if they're going to call, if you're going to call, make sure you bring the pain. Make sure you bring it. Also, I mean, in the world of sports today, a legend retired. Ken Griffey Jr. called it quits today after 22 seasons in baseball. He's a legend. He retired with 630 home runs. And he had a stellar career, great career. And we wish Ken Griffey Jr.
Played in the wrong year, didn't he, Paul? Played in the wrong year, played in the steroid year. There was as you said, he was a great athlete, and he played 22 seasons, redefined, the position of center fielder, and I mean, what a defensive player he was able to hit the ball, I mean, anywhere, all over the field, but unfortunately he just decided to play the game the way it was supposed to be played, and not, well, as far, and we should always say in the new millennium, as far as we know, he had not tampered with.
He was supposedly one of the clean ones and played the game the right way. He'll end up being fifth on an all-time homers list. Some would say maybe a little higher up if you take out some of Bonds' home runs. And but I mean, it was a great career. Great guy. He was a 13-time outfielder, won numerous MVPs, 11-time Gold Glover. I mean, this was a top-notch baseball player. And like you said, he did things the right way. And he'll be missed, but some things must come to an end, and we wish Ken Griffey Jr. Nothing but the best in retirement. And what's going on in the NHL right now? You have the Flyers and the Blackhawks, Stanley Cup Finals, end of the second period, tied at 2. Of course, the Chicago Blackhawks lead the series 2-0. South Philly is buzzing tonight. And this is a big game for the Flyers. Granted, they did come back from 3-0, but this is a whole different hockey team. This is a better hockey club here in Chicago, and we'll see what happens. But right now, as we stand, it's 2-2 at the end of the second period. Flyers and Blackhawks.
So do you see the Flyers? We have a couple minutes to kill, and I'm sure you can only kill a couple minutes when it comes to hockey. But do you see the Flyers? You know, if they're able to squeak out a victory here, do you see them having a chance in the series, or is it just
let's. I talked about on previous shows about the Flyers. In a lot of ways, this is a ball club again. Down three. Actually, let's take it back to the regular season. They needed a shootout to get into these playoffs. They get here. Now they're down 3-0 in the second round to the Boston Bruins. They come back, and then they win that series. So this is a team that, in some respect, maybe Destiny's Child, but I think at the end of the day, if they don't win tonight, you can't expect any team to come back from 3-0 twice. If they don't win tonight, the series is a done deal. And hopefully, all you Flyer fans out here, they will get it done tonight.
What do you want to put out a prediction, Paul? It's 2-0 and then in the second.
I'm not going to put a prediction out here. Actually, you know what? Flyers will win tonight. Flyers will get it done. They'll win these 2 games in Philadelphia. They'll go back to Chicago. They'll lose. They'll come back to Philly. They'll win. And then they'll finish it up in Game 7 in Chicago. So the Flyers in 7.
Wow. Well, you mean the Blackhawks in 7?
No, the Flyers in 7.
Oh, wow. So you're gonna pick an upset there. Jeez, Paul, you are really...
Either you really don't care or you're a prognosticator.
Well, I mean, as of right now, I haven't been doing too well in that area. But you keep going. You keep going. You can't let one little thing stop you. And it won't. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go Forward under the category of sports. And also you can send emails to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. I also was reading today that apparently the Redskins are looking to make an offer to Brian Westbrook, former Eagles running back. Don't know how much the guy has in the tank, but he would be reunited. And that would feel good for him with Donovan McNabb in Washington. So we'll see what happens there. B. West was a top-notch player here in Philadelphia and a good guy. So you wish him nothing but the best.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what they do. They certainly are bringing a stable in with running backs in the training camp. And as
I mean,
you said,
yeah, Larry Johnson, Portis, Willie Parker.
He'd be interesting, Paul, especially for, the Mike Holmgren-style offense. He'd be that third down back, and I think you could really, if he can get himself healthy enough to play, you could certainly extend his career a ways by putting him, you know, as that situational back, especially coming out and catching the ball and almost, you know, being a third down specialist.
Yeah, and I think that's what he would be. But there's a lot of backs there, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But it should be interesting. Again, you wish B. West nothing but the best in that situation. Also, in terms of the Eagles, Marlon Jackson ruptured his Achilles tendon yesterday. Apparently it was a 7-on-7 drill. And so he's, after coming back from two major knee injuries, he's out for the season after rupturing his Achilles. So there's a hole at that free safety position. They did draft Nate Allen, so we'll see what happens there. And they still have Quentin Demps and Montrezl Harris is on the roster. Apparently he'll be switched over to corner, but he is still on the roster, so you'll see how that shakes out, I should say.
And I know we have a couple minutes. It's still early, but I certainly would like to hear your thoughts on the little slump that the Phillies are under right now. I mean, are you overly concerned? Do you think this is going to be a foreshadowing of the season?
Well, I think you have to be concerned about what's going on if you're a Phillies fan. But I do think at the end of the day they will turn this thing around. And I mean, this ball club has always been a maddening ball club. Sometimes they're a hard team to figure out. But I think they will get this thing right.
Do you think it's time that they maybe look at another pitcher, Paul? There's talk of...
I think they need, in terms of the bullpen, I'm a little concerned. I think they can get through with these starters, but the bullpen I'm concerned about. And also, you got to also remember Jimmy Rollins is out, and he is a big part of that lineup, and he's out. So you hope, again, at some point, get him back and hopefully get this thing right. But I'm definitely am concerned, but I hope that – I'm concerned, but I'm not panicking at this time. So I think that hopefully we'll turn this thing around and get this thing right and get back to where they need to get to, and that's the World Series. Got about a minute left in the show. We want to thank Bill Jasner from the Philadelphia Daily News. He writes basketball. He follows the Sixers and writes about basketball for the paper. A legend at that newspaper. And we thank him for joining our show tonight. He gave some great insight on these playoffs and what's going to happen in these NBA finals. We want to thank all the callers who joined us. I want to thank everybody who came by, stopped by, and listened. We had fun tonight, had a good time. We talked NBA basketball. Jeremy likes the Lakers in six. I like the Celtics in six. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll leave you with a little something. Thank you for joining the show. Take care.
God bless.
Bye.
How do you think that went? What do you think about Phil? I mean, so it was a good, you know, it was a big coup for the show. Basically. That was Shy. That was Mark's girlfriend. Did you like the boy's mind? Did you like the boy's mind? I said, do you like the boy? I would agree with that. That's what I tried to. I was going to make a song about it, but that was. But on that note, I have to go. All right.
Bye.